All right, good morning. So good to see you. I want to welcome everyone here and at our other campuses. It is a real joy to be back at the Creek. My family and I have been friends with the Barton family for a long time, and they're great and special friends, and it's a real privilege. And I know you know this, but your pastor and his family are incredibly special to this community in so many ways. I was thinking even this morning about Allison and her role and her leadership in this community in so many ways that is such a blessing, and Trevor and his leadership as a pastor, as a friend, as a father, as a husband, and communication. Like, I'm going on and on a little bit, but I know that you know how blessed you are to have this family, and we are grateful to call them friends. And it's been wonderful to see the boys and grow up and everything. So we love the Bartons, we love the Creek, and I want to say a special thank you to you for your generosity. You may or may not know this, but my wife and I and our family have a nonprofit called Beyond Communities, building residential communities for adults with intellectual and developmental disabilities. And our daughter, who's 23 next week, this coming week, is a part of that. She was diagnosed with cerebral palsy at a young age. And so as she got older, God put this vision on our heart to solve a very needed solution to a problem for many people like her. So we are thankful, because at the end of last year, your church was an incredibly generous part of, as the end of the year and your giving to organizations that you do that are blessed, we were one of them. And so I want to say thank you. And many people will be blessed because of your generosity. So we're glad to be here today. We're in a message series called Unsung Heroes. We're talking about the heroes. And you and I know that we have heroes, whether it's some sports figure or some, you know, leadership person, or just someone who's impacted our life, someone that we know personally. And the reality of heroes, and Trevor touched on this last week, is that no hero is perfect. Even some of them are very imperfect. In fact, most of them are very imperfect, right? But when we look at an unsung hero, an unlikely hero, these are individuals that might not make the front cover. They're not the ones that are out there in the public all the time, but that the ones a little bit behind the scenes. And I think we can identify with that. And I want to look at one of those characters today, found in the scriptures in the Old Testament. We'll get there in a moment. But this individual is going to help us understand what it's like to finish strong, to finish well in the face of adversity, in the face of opposition, in the face of life's great difficulties, delays, and detours. Don't you know that life can be tough sometimes? Yes or no? Like, yeah? Yeah. Life can be tough sometimes. I mean, we all know this. We have difficulties in life. There are things that come along. But I think all of us, we want to end well. We want to be successful. Let's just be honest. We want to be good at life. But these other things come along and get thrown in our face. And so today I want to talk about this character. But as we are journeying life, if we want to end well, we're looking for a couple of things. And the first one is direction. I mean, all of us would say, I need direction in life. Sometimes it's through a season. Sometimes it's through a major decision that we have to make. We need to know which way to go. We need to know, you know, through this season or through this decision, what are we going to do? What's the best thing to do? The thing about direction, though, while we all want direction, some of us, maybe all of us, struggle with directions, plural. I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, when I was a kid, we would get these report cards, and now both of our girls are in college environments, and so because they are adults, we don't even get access to the report card before they do. So I'm just kind of like, hey, can I see what my money's paying for, please? You know, so, but I want to know what they're getting. But when I was a kid, and you'd bring the report card home, or the teacher would, I don't know, but it was always a physical piece of paper. And I would typically see it before my mom saw it. And there were things on there that I liked and things that I didn't. But almost always in the comments section or whatever, my teachers would say, this was so consistent, Pete struggles with listening to directions. And I don't know if that's like you, but the reality is, for me, it's not that I think I know everything. I don't think that I know more than necessarily you do, but I just know to a degree. I'm like, I'm going to get there. It's going to be fine. Teacher starts talking. I'm like, I'll get there when we need to get there. But we struggle with directions. And our direction is based on some things. And it's we need to understand that our direction will be based on where we are following. Where are you following? And we follow based on what we listen to. And so the reality is our process of direction in life really starts with who and what are we listening to, that will lead us to who and what are we following, that will set the direction of our life, and ultimately it will lead to life's destinations. Our life's destinations are largely a result of who and what we're listening to. And so when we think about this, it gets tough because there are so many competing voices in our lives. And it doesn't matter if it's just entertainment, which I love to be entertained. And, you know, our whole between all four of us in our family, we have every platform of social media possible. Like, I don't have all of them. You know, like, we all migrate. Like, you know, one really loves TikTok and Snapchat and Instagram and Facebook and Twitter and, like, I don't know, all the different things. And we love to look and we love to scroll and we love to follow. And then when we get mad at somebody, we love to unfollow. You know, you're like, take that. You know, it just feels so good. Anyway. But we're listening to so many voices. We see things in the sports world. I'm a sports fanatic. I love to look at things. I got my teams. I got my sports that I really like to follow. You know, different leaders that we love to follow. People in our industry, people that we look to, people that we want to become more like. Politically, we follow, we listen, we read, we investigate. There's all the issues. And the reality is this. Most of life's destinations, where we will end up, will be largely determined by who and what we are listening to. And then we have decisions to make. And they're important decisions. Because the truth is this, you and I, we need to be reminded of this. While we would love to be able to, we do, we intake and we hear from different sides and different angles, and we can, the truth is this, we can only actually move in one direction at a time. We can't be moving in two different directions. Speaking of directions, my wife and I, especially as we've gotten older, we're turning into that old couple that just argues in the car all the time about which way to go and how to drive and what to do. And this made me feel really good. Yesterday, we were riding with Trevor and Allison, and not to, you know, talk about them, but to talk about them. Trevor was driving, and Allison very kindly was like, oh, I wonder why you went that way, because I would have gone this way. And, you know, which I know would it was a much nicer version had we not been in the car. But no, I'm kidding. I just laughed at the conversation because I'm like, you know what? We all said, well, what about this way? We could go that way. And my wife and depending on what else is going on in the moment, it could turn into a heated discussion that just ends the day and we'll just start over tomorrow. Like, you can only move in one direction at a time. So it's very important for you and I, while we think that all the voices we're listening to and all the words we're reading and all the people and things that we're giving all of our attention to, while we think it doesn't affect us, it actually does. And we will move in the direction that our ears and our attention listens more to. So today, as we get into this story, I want to encourage us to tune into this unsung hero, because throughout some incredible, you'll see it, discouragements, detours, delays in life, he had a determination that wanted the same thing at the end of his life, and he got it that he wanted at the beginning of his life. But he went through something that all of us identify with, life and difficulties. And it's no surprise that in our world, if we're going to end up where we want, I'm going to encourage you to follow God. I mean, it is that simple. Follow God. Follow his directions. Follow his wisdom. Follow his goodness. It's good for you. It's good for others. You heard people tell you that. You come to church. You know that. Follow God. The problem is this. You and I have a natural tendency to go in our own direction, to go in our own way. And I started thinking about that, and I wanted to really peel that back and reveal, well, what is that then? What is my own? What is my way versus God's way? I don't think it's always that we want to be obstinate to God. I don't think we're trying to always be rebellious to God. I think that there is something below the surface of all of us that not always, but oftentimes is our real enemy of why we go our own way. And I believe that is fear. It's fear. I think about decisions that I made more out of fear and following fear's voice versus what I already knew to be true. When I was young, I thought about decisions and actions I have not taken throughout my life. And they were influenced. And they were just this cascading, this spirit that creeps in and that says, well, if you do this, then they might say this. And if you do that, then it might go that way. And those fears so get inside. You know how this goes. It gets inside your head and then it dwells in your heart and it comes out into your actions and your decisions. And today I want to encourage you simply to follow God over fear. But how do we do that? We're going to peel back, and I think sometimes we need to just expose something for what it is, and we're going to unwrap and expose fear's tactics, fear's voices, and fear's consequences, because there are consequences to following fear. In the Old Testament, there's a scene. God is about to take his people, the Israelites, into what was called the Promised Land. His people, the Israelites, had been in slavery. Now, this is just a little history and context. They had been in slavery in Egypt for close to 400 years. And every day they would pray, God, deliver us from this. Deliver us from Egypt. Deliver, deliver, deliver. God eventually sends Moses. Moses leads them out. They're beginning the journey. They're out into the wilderness. They're headed towards the Promised Land. They literally come up on the brink of the actual physical Promised Land that God was going to give them. And God gives some instructions. So here's God's directions. And it's this, found in Numbers 13. By the way, I'm going to just clip through some scriptures, look at some scenes. But I encourage you, if you want to go back into Numbers and then follow on, and we're going to end up in Joshua today. But here's where the story starts, God's directions. The Lord now said to Moses, in regard to the people, send out men to explore the land of Canaan. This is the land I am giving. On the count of three, I want you to say, I am giving. One, two, three.
I am giving.
I will give. This is the word of the Lord. This is the promise of God. I'm giving to the Israelites. This is the land I'm sending you into. So here's some instructions. Send one leader from each of the 12 tribes. And then he goes in and he says, go. And then if you read on, you'll see, investigate it, look at it, bring some samples back, and then bring a report to the people. And that's what they did. They spent 40 days investigating the land. They saw good, they saw tough, but that's part of life. One of the things they saw that was very interesting and they brought back as a sample, because remember, these 12 represented thousands and thousands and thousands of people. These were 12 people going in. They couldn't send them all. One leader from every one of the 12 tribes that represented all of the people of Israel. And they went in and they knew, well, whatever the report is going to be, we want to be convincing of what we see and help us make a decision. The truth is this, and I just want to say this up front. God wasn't saying, I'm going to show you a land and it might be or it may not be the one I'm... No, this is the land I'm giving you. I just want you to see what you're dealing with. And so as he sent them in and they're bringing back samples, they know, like, well, we got to bring back something that convinces the people, like, what is the land about? What is there? And they physically brought back these grapes. These grapes, according to scripture, were so big that it took two large men to carry them on these branches. And the grapes were just like clusters of grapes. Like, I don't really know what kind of tree those would grow on or out of the ground or what. I don't really know where grapes come from. Anyway, the point is, they're big grapes and they're coming in. And so this is, the scripture goes on. This was the report. The report comes to Moses. We enter the land that you sent us to explore. They spent 40 days there. And it is indeed a bountiful country. It's a great place, a land flowing with milk and honey. That was just their description of it. Here is the kind of fruit that it produces. So they're showing the grapes. All of the people of Israel are gathering around. They're giving the report. You've heard the good. And then we get our first taste of what fear does. It's so much easier to see it in someone else's life and someone else's story. But the truth is, as we read this, think about things in our life. We see the good. And by the way, there in the midst of the upside, there's always the downside. In the midst of the good things, there's always a reality that there's going to be some difficulties along the way. And then they come in and say this, but part of the report, the people living there are powerful and their towns are large and they're fortified. And we even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. Now, I don't have time to go into this today, but there were literal people that came from tribes, communities, like these were literally larger than normal people, and we would call them giants, and they called them giants. They were just very big people, and they were scary. So the report comes in. The negativity starts creeping in. Caleb speaks up, our unsung hero. He tried to quiet the people as they stood before Moses. "Let's go at once and take the land," he said. And this is important. We can certainly conquer it. On the count of three, say, we can. One, two, three. We can. That was his attitude. We can. Now, where did his confidence come from? That he knew that they were going to conquer the land, that this was for them. Remember, there were 12 spies, so to speak, that went in to investigate the land, to bring the report back. All of those 12 each came from one tribe. And the truth is, what we discover is that 10 out of the 12 were bringing negative reports. 2 out of the 12 were bringing positive reports saying, hey, we know those obstacles are there. We know those giants are there. We know that there are things about the land and their towns and the fortified and it's powerful. But the 2 that were coming back, their voice was not representing a, hey, I think we can do this. Their voice was representing what we read in the first place. What was God's direction? Go. I will. It's going to be yours. I am giving this to you. God was not giving them an option, even though the voice of fear was influencing the people to make it an option. Do you know what's interesting? Fear itself will never appear as fear. It hides behind elements of truth and then blows that truth up into actually something that's not true, and it makes us feel different, and then whole narrative is shifted and the direction changes in their story and in our stories as well. Fear comes in. What happens? But other men had explored. Those were the 10. And they disagreed with Caleb. Caleb said, we can. They said, we can't. We can't go up against them. They're stronger than we are. It goes on. So they spread this bad report amongst the land of the Israelites. There's a group of people. There's a group of leaders there. There's a smaller groups. And guess what happens? When the voice of fear gets spoken into a crowd, and even in the midst of the voice of truth, and sometimes a voice of positivity. It's interesting, and I do some, for some other part of professional work for me, I teach marketing workshops and teach companies how to clarify their message so that people will listen and understand your products and services. And we say this all the time. People don't buy the best products and services. They buy the ones that make the most sense to them. And fear has a way of being loud and annoyingly in such a way to capture your attention and make it so clear to you that this isn't going to happen. And that's what happens. Fear starts to spread throughout the whole community, the land we traveled through. And just listen to this. An explored will devour. Now all of a sudden they're going to get devoured just because they saw large people, difficulties, tough things that are coming. anyone who goes to live there. Look how the narrative starts shifting. And all the people we saw there were huge. Well, that really wasn't even true, but now fear is taking shape. And then it says this. We even saw giants there. We already addressed that, the descendants of Anak. And next to them, we felt like grasshoppers. And this is my favorite part. And that's what they thought too. Oh, did you ask them? Did you ask them what they thought about you? No, because you were spies. You weren't talking to anybody. And the reality is this. You and I, have you ever played the game, the telephone game? When you get a big circle of people around and you whisper something and you whisper, they whisper and then they whisper and it goes all the way around the circle. And just for fun, you see if the same message you started with was the same message that the whole group ends with. And the truth is, it never happens. It's never the same message. And isn't it interesting that you and I can have this narrative shift in things in our life and we say things like, oh yeah, that's what they thought too. How many things in your life and in my life have been interrupted and kept from, and we've kept certain things from our life out of fear because fear is telling us don't do that because that's what they're thinking. And that's what they'll say about you. I want to pause and tell you a couple statements about fear. Number one, fear will lie to you and fear will make you a liar. I don't want to be called a liar. Nobody likes that. This probably feels a little bit offensive, but the truth is this. Fear is a lie. And when you and I start to buy the lie, what happened to the people? They started communicating something that wasn't true. Something that's not true is a what? It's a lie. Now the narrative to the whole community is actually a lie. Fear will lie to you and make you a liar. Fear will also affect your relationships. Fear will affect your finances. And fear will severely affect your future. There are relationships that fear will infiltrate. And you will end a relationship that just needs some honesty. There are some relationships that you will continue that's unhealthy that need to be ended. There are decisions that we make, and we all do this with our finite, I must have, I need to have. It doesn't matter what the results will come later. I gotta compete with, I need, we gotta. And then all of a sudden, my finances are in trouble because fear has actually, the whole my way versus God's way isn't always just me wanting to be obstinate. It's fear creeping into my life, lying to me, making me a liar, and making me make bad decisions. We just need to understand what we're dealing with. It will significantly interfere with our future. Fear continues. Back to the story. Then the whole community, and here it is. Oh, this just turns into a drama fest. They're weeping. They're cried all night. Their voices rose in a great chorus of protest against Moses and Aaron. And this is the statement of the day. If only we had just died in Egypt or even here in the wilderness, they complained. And then this next part, why is the Lord? Have you ever, don't answer this question because the answer is probably yes. Have you ever been faced with something and we've misinterpreted the actual problem and we start to aim the blame on God? Well, I don't know why he did this. Well, that wasn't necessarily what he did or what he said. We're listening to a lie that causes us to lie about a circumstance and then blame God. I don't know why the Lord is taking us into this country only to die in battle. And then it just gets more dramatic. Our wives and our little ones will be carried off as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to return to Egypt? I feel like I'm just watching a reality show that's just filled with drama and people are sitting around and saying bad things and escalating into a terrible argument and a blow up. Like, this is going in a bad direction. And it's all because they're listening to fear. And then they even plotted amongst themselves, let's choose a new leader and go back to Egypt. Let me remind you what I said in the beginning. They were slaves in Egypt for almost 400 years. They woke up every day begging the Lord their God, deliver us, deliver us, deliver us. He sent a deliverer, Moses, brought them out through the wilderness, led them up into the promised land. And this is where we are in this moment. And he's saying, go in, I'm giving this to you, but you need to know what you're dealing with so that as you go, you will be prepared. God is not a God of foolishness. He's a God of wisdom. He wants us to know what we're dealing with. This is very wise and smart and practical and not or. He also is the supernatural God, and he is going to walk with them as he gives them this land. But fear has interrupted the system. Now, there's a last-ditch effort in the story. Caleb and Joshua, remember, they were just 2 out of 12 that actually believed God. This is still in the moment. This is still being captured in numbers. This is still before any decisions are made. They jump into the scene. They're like, guys, 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 the land is wonderful. If God is pleased, and he's pleased about his word, and he didn't say this if he didn't mean it. He said, I'm giving you this land. He will bring us safely into it. Do not rebel against God. Don't be afraid. They make a last-ditch effort in this dramatic story that has shifted from God leading them up, saying, here's where you're going. This is what I'm giving you. You need to know what you're dealing with. And fear has interrupted the whole story, changed the narrative, shifted the direction, because the people were listening to fear versus remembering and listening what God said. And this is how it happens. And this is what interrupts my life and your life. And the truth is, fear is loud. Fear is obnoxious. Fear is convincing. Fear will tell you, if you do this, this is gonna happen. That's already what they're saying. Fear will tell you a lot of things. You know, one of the things I was dwelling upon, thinking upon, is from when I was a young child to today, how many times fear has interrupted something or a path that I was going on or I needed to go on or a journey I was about to embark, something that God was calling me to. And there have been times when I've accepted the mission in the face of fear, and there have been so many times I denied, from little decisions to large decisions based on what I was afraid might happen. I'm not telling you to be foolish. I'm not telling you to just go out and do whatever I want. That's actually the opposite. What I'm saying is when God says something, he means it. He is a deliverer on his promise 100% of the time. God is true. God is trustworthy. God is God. He made you. He knows you. He loves you. And fear comes along, seeps into our heart, starts with our ears. We're listening. We're checking out every other voice, and all of a sudden we start shifting around, and we can only move in one direction at a time, and we start following fear without even realizing it. So here comes the consequences of fear. And the truth is this, the community's still talking and adding, and they began to talk about stoning Joshua and Caleb. I mean, it just gets dramatic. And there's this interesting moment, and I won't read it, but it's found in Numbers 14, 11 through 23. There's this conversation Moses, as the leader of these people, and God have. God is angry. God already spoke. God said what he was going to say. And the people were listening to fear. Moses was there to represent the people. God basically came in strong. And if you go back and read this, I'm gonna be honest with you. There are some things that God says recorded in scripture that makes me uncomfortable. Because he's coming against people and Moses is almost taken up for the people and God is like, no. And then this was the conclusion. These are the consequences that we see in this story about fear. This is God's word, the majority of the people, because they have decided not to listen to God, will never even see the land. But my servant, Caleb, has a different attitude than the others. I will bring him into the land that he explored. His descendants will possess their full share of the land. And here's the real tragedy of the entire story. Now turn around and don't go. You're not going into the promised land. I had you at the front door. We were ready to walk in. This was ours to take. And God promises to be with us. By the way, I just want to say this. Fear will tell you that you will fail. I don't believe failing is the ultimate failure in life. I believe not trying is the ultimate failure. Actually, not trusting and believing in God is the ultimate failure. That will never work out for us. Listening to God doesn't mean we're not going to fail and make mistakes. We all are going to do that. But the tragedy is this. God said, fine, you're not going to listen to me. You're not going to go. Don't go. Don't go toward the land, for tomorrow you must set out for the wilderness in the direction of the Red Sea. And from that point forward, instead of entering the land from the place that they were already ready to take over the land, God was with them. There was a 40-ish plus, maybe minus, 40 years more of journeying through the wilderness and going through difficulty after difficulty after difficulty. 40-year delay. Can you imagine Caleb? Like, this is just blown. This is why he's an unsung hero. I'm like, he was ready to go. Joshua was ready to go. Caleb was really the outspoken one. And they're ready to take over the land. And God said, it's not going to happen because you don't believe me and you won't go. Then fine, I'm going to send you on a wilderness journey. I want to say a couple things about you and I's wilderness seasons of life. Number one, not every wilderness you and I are in is because of something you directly did. Oftentimes, we find ourselves in a wilderness because we are indirectly affected by a decision somebody else made. And that's difficult. There are things we can't control. But in the areas where you and I can control, if we listen to fear, this is what's going to happen. And it's going to affect other people. The other thing I want to tell you, even in those 40 years of wandering, wilderness, go back and read it. Like, it was not a fun time. By the way, no one who physically went into the land as spies and came back and started spreading the lies to the people, none of them ever entered the land. Caleb was the only one, along with Joshua. But the wilderness happened, and even in the middle of this, even in the middle of our pain, our mess, God is still God and God is faithful. He faithfully saw them through. So let's get to the good part. I'm gonna skip to the end of the story. Chapters, books later in the Old Testament, we find in the book of Joshua chapter 14, they're in the promised land. They got there. What God said came true. And Caleb started talking and he said, as he was being given the land that was promised to him, he said, remember, this is so important. Remember. Remember what the Lord said. There are so many things you and I, our brains, and our minds and our hearts, we are so drawn to certain voices. That's why we listen to it. But a lot of that comes from the past that we've been through, certain experiences that have hurt us. And so what we attach and what we remember isn't always the thing that is the better one to remember. That's why we have to make an intentional effort to listen to God. That's why we have to make an intentional effort, because our natural tendencies are going to go in our own direction and our own minds are going to play a lot of tricks on us. But whatever your mind says, whatever your feelings say, always check it against what God says. Oftentimes, what you and I are believing, someone said this to me one time, what are the thoughts that you're telling yourself about yourself all day long? Remember what the Lord said. I was 40 years old then. I returned and gave an honest report. My brothers were frightened. He's living this out. He's remembering that. Some 45 years earlier, when he stood there and said, guys, we can. We could go. God's giving us this. And he's remembering 45 years later. He said, my part, by the way, you can't do someone else's part. For better or for worse, you can't, but you can do what you can do. He said, for my part, even with their decision and their consequences, I had to live the consequences. But while I was in the wilderness, some may have been wandering, but I wasn't wandering. I was following the Lord God with my whole heart. That was my part. The Lord kept me alive, and here I am. This is just amazing. I'm 85 years old now, just as ready now as I was then. 85. I turned 50 this year, and I'm like, there was not long ago, or at least it feels like it, where I used to hear the number 50, and I'd be like, well, it was a good run. This is the end of the journey. You know, I'm like, that's me right now. 85, and he's still filled with passion, because even in the middle, and this is why he's an unsung hero. He didn't escape the consequences that he did not initiate. He walked through. This is what life, so much of life is. So much of life is not something that I caused, but you and I have a decision. Will I become a victim to this, or will I become a conqueror of this and do my part? My part was to follow God with my whole heart. And here I am at 85, and Joshua blessed Caleb. And he gave him his portion of the land. How did he do it? I mean, I wish I could sit down. That's why I just love this guy. I wish I could sit down with Caleb and go, as you were in a 45-year wandering desert wilderness with people who are obstinate against God, how did you not, like, one by one, take it into your own hands and kill them? No, I'm just kidding. I would want to know that. Like, how do you make it through that? How do you keep believing when you don't get to see the thing? Because I want to know, and here is the best way that I can come up with how Caleb did it. Caleb listened to God more than he listened to fear. Well, that's a simple statement, Pete. It is. The most important word is more. Do you think Caleb wasn't affected by fear? He was. You think Caleb didn't hear the fear? He did. Caleb saw the fear. Caleb was impacted by the fear. Caleb had fear all around him, just like you and I. Caleb, most likely, because I know he wasn't perfect, failed out of fear from time to time, just like you do. But Caleb listened to God more. On the count of three, I want you to say more. One, two, three. More. Caleb listened to God more than he listened to fear. And this is what I want for you today. This is what I want for me today. To listen to God more than fear. You are going to hear fear, and you are going to listen to fear. And so am I. You're going to follow fear's path from time to time. So do I. You're going to mess up. Mistakes. And let's call it fail. To fear. They're going to win. It's going to win. They, it. It's going to win. From time to time. So has it in my life. I have regrets in my life of listening to fear more than God and not ending up where I wanted to end up in certain scenarios. My point is this: fear is all around us. It's speaking. But my encouragement for us, and this is something I believe we can do. I look at Caleb like, if you're not careful, you'll elevate him to somebody that was perfect wholeheartedly. What wholeheartedly? What do you really mean wholeheartedly? You can only go in one direction at a time. And I believe the real answer, the real help to us today is listen to God more. Listen to God more. Listen to God more than your social media accounts. Listen to God more than your unhappy friends. Listen to God more than the negativity and even the realities of that negativity that are all around us every day. Listen to God just more. And when you and I have the opportunity to listen to God more, when we do this, We can follow God with our whole heart. You can. Because you're only moving in one direction at a time. And your heart's going with you. So where are you going? We can listen to a lot of things. We can only follow and end up in a direction, an ultimate destination. Just one. Listen to God more. Fear will lie to you. Fear will tell you you can't. God has already said you can. And you are. And you will. 2 Timothy 1:7. New Testament. Reality of us now as followers of God. We're followers of Jesus, who said, I am God, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So as followers of Jesus, there's a gift that we have. There's an equipment that comes along with it. There's an empowerment that comes. And it's called the Holy Spirit. However interesting and maybe weird this sounds, when you make Jesus the Lord of your life, like when you surrender your life to Jesus, he gives you his full spirit. And the scripture says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear and timidity, but of power and love and self-discipline. You don't come with the equipment of fear. Fear comes knocking at your door, and fear doesn't live in your home because God is the Lord of your home. I'm not saying we always make him the Lord. I'm not saying we always decide to let him be Lord, but he is. We don't have the equipment of fear. We just let fear in. And we let fear take over. We let fear tell us lies and make us a liar and affects our relationships and finances and future. But this is what the Lord says. You do not have the equipment of fear. You have the equipment of power and love and the ability. This is what self-discipline is. This is our part in the us and God relationship. I have the riskiest gift of all that God gave humanity, which is free will. But he's given me the spirit to be able to make the better decision with my self-discipline, knowing that the Spirit of God lives in me with power and love and self-control, self-discipline, a sound mind to make the right decisions. So I just challenge you and encourage you again today. Listen to God more than fear. And I have a final question for you. It's this. Whose voice is more trustworthy? In this next and final song, as we close today, I just want to use it as a prompt that will prompt you as you're out tonight, as you're out today, throughout this week, you'll see things around you. I don't mean negative things. I mean just reality things, the stars in the sky, the galaxies. And here you can get some good views of that. Like, you see God's creation? This song will prompt us to remember who God is. Let me ask you, whoever's voice is more trustworthy, fear or God's? Well, let's just look at fear's track record. What has it done for us? What does it want with us? Where has it brought us results in the past? And let's look at God. Let's see his faithfulness. Let's see his sacrifice. Let's see his beautiful creation. And I encourage you to lean more into God's voice, not fear's voice, but our faith and trust in the faithful God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you, and we love you because you first loved us. You took initiative with us. From the beginning, you created the first one of us, humans. You made us in your image. You made us like you to have community, an intimacy and a relationship with you, to join you in all things that you have done. But we move in our own direction, and that's called sin. And I believe oftentimes we don't follow you and start following our direction because fear creeps in. Today, I pray we will recognize that fear. We will know it for what it is, and we will shut our ears to fear. and open our ears and our hearts and our feet and our hands and our lives to follow you in your direction. In Jesus' name we pray.